In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, but the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and so he separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day and the darkness night. And there was evening and there was morning on the first day. From the beginning, we have been trying to answer some of life's biggest questions. How did we get here, right? Where are we going? Why is there evil in the world? Why do bad things happen? I think most of you probably recognize the movie clip we just watched, right? Anybody not recognize it? So that's from the film from the 90s, The Lion King, which is actually the first movie I ever remember seeing in theaters. I don't know if that ages me old or young, but somewhere in the middle, right? But over these next few weeks, we are in the midst of this series called Disney Does Divinity. And so, like I said, throughout time, from the very beginning, we've been trying to figure out answers to these questions. Scholars, poets, writers, movie makers try to help us uncover the meaning of some of life's greatest questions. Now, as we look at Disney movies, I think it's important for us to remember we're not saying that this is the gospel of Disney, right? Or in Disney, or according to Disney, because we believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we also recognize that sometimes God can speak to us in new and unique ways, and sometimes God's gospel message, the good news of Jesus Christ, can come to us if we can open our eyes a little bit in new ways. I think The Lion King is a modern, well, or 90s modern, right, attempt to help us answer some of those age-old questions. Like, how did we get here? Or why is there evil in the world? In the beginning of the movie that we just watched together, it's set up with goodness, right? We have a beautiful creation. A lot of times when I read Genesis 1, like I just read for you a moment ago, the Lion King opening scene sometimes pops into my mind. I think about the fullness of God's creation, all of these beautiful animals surrounded in basking sunshine. And so in this movie, we see all of those animals surrounded near Pride Rock, right? Welcoming this new baby cub named Simba, who will one day be king, right? He even sings about it. And he's presented to all of the animal kingdom. Now, Mufasa, his dad, in the movie, explains to him the beauty of creation. And he says, "Everything you see, son, everything you see exists together in a delicate balance. As king, you need to understand that balance and respect all the creatures, from the crawling ant to the leaping antelope." And I think about what God tells Adam and Eve, right, in the very beginning. He says, "Here's this creation. You have a job, and your job is to care for it. But you have one thing you can't do, right? Just don't eat from that tree over there. Don't go to the shadowy place." But what do? Simba is like all of humanity, curious, eager, excited, doesn't like to listen to rules, doesn't like to stay within boundaries. Simba's trying to figure life out, right? He's trying to see and to explore and to figure out who he is and who he's called to be. And so he asked his dad, you know, well, what's that shadowy place over there? Because he craves more, he desires more, and that gets him into trouble. Temptation and sin, negative self-talk, disconnection. All of these things make us or do things that are outside of who we are called to be. right after this scene in the movie, all of after all the goodness that we see, evil comes in too, right? In the form of a scrawny lion named Scar. And Scar is a tempter. He's a manipulator. He's crafty. There's a crafty serpent, right, in the Bible. And he tempts Simba into doing the wrong things. But there's good news. Even when we run away, even when we do the wrong thing, God is always with us. As I was watching this movie, I watched it last week, and then Emmy and I watched it last night just to make sure I didn't, you know, say the wrong thing. And I love the scene right after Simba does the wrong thing, right? He listens to Scar, and he goes off exploring that elephant graveyard, right? So his dad saves the day, and he takes Simba off, and he scolds him like a good dad does, right? And then they play together. And Simba says, you know, Dad, we'll always be pals, right? And Mufasa realizes in this moment that one day he will die. And so he looks at Simba and he says, Simba, I'm going to tell you something that my father told me. I want you to look at those stars. The great kings of the past look down from us from those stars. Simba says, really? He says, yes. Whenever you feel alone, remember that those kings will always be there to guide you. And so will I. Mufasa knew, just like God knows about us, that there will be times where we feel alone. That there will be times when we feel cast out and put aside. That there will be times where we struggle. And yet, there's this promise that God will always be with us. Simba is tempted again after his dad dies into believing that everything's his fault and that he should just run away. He runs away from his calling of his place as king. We do this too. We run when we're scared. We move away from our calling, too scared to say yes, because being a child of God can be dangerous. Doing what God says can be scary. We want to live in a place of Hakuna Matata, right? A place of no worries, where we can just eat all the delicious grub we want and bask in sunshine. But these short vacations, much like the one Aaron and I just had, right? Sunny Mexico. They can only last so long, right? They can only last for a temporary period because eventually we have to go back to real life. We have to go back into the dangerous and scary, even when we don't want to. We are United Methodist, which means we follow the Wesleyan tradition. John Wesley is the guy who started the Methodist movement. And he had this term for grace called prevenient grace. Have you heard of it before? Anybody? Prevenient grace? No one's heard of prevenient grace before, because I know I've preached about it before, so all of you should have. But the word prevenient comes from a Latin word, prevenire. I can't speak Latin, so that's probably wrong. Connie will probably correct me later. No, you don't speak Latin? Okay, gotcha. But it means to precede or to come before. And so Wesley would say prevenient grace is the grace that comes before. He also called it preparatory grace or enabling grace. But it's the grace that happens before we recognize it. Before we recognize God at work in our lives, God is still working. God is still there. And so when you watch The Lion King, when you see Simba out with Timon and Pumbaa, his two buddies that I think get him into a little bit of trouble, right? He's just living this carefree existence. But here's the thing. Something is working inside him. Something is showing him that he needs to go back. And it happens a couple different times. It happens when he's sitting with Timon and Pumbaa looking at the stars. It happens when Nala comes back. But this prevenient grace is working in him. The term prevenient grace isn't actually found in the Bible, but the concept is deeply embedded into it. In Scripture and in the life of a believer, grace is revealed to us through the incarnation of Jesus, through Jesus being fully human and present in the world. And God's only desire for us is that we would be reconciled back to God and to back to creation and to be who God called us to be. And the incarnation of Christ comes to us through the stories of the Nativity, right? In John's gospel, we hear the true light, which lightens every man, comes into the world. This is the incarnation of Christ. This is God's way of working in all of our lives, even when we don't recognize it. Our scripture for this morning is John 1, that nativity story. This is a gospel reading. In our tradition, we stand for our gospel readings, so I invite you to stand. We're going to read John 1, 1 through 14. The gospel writer says this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself, he was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was with the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory and the glory of all as his Father's only Son, full of grace and truth." This is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. As I said, this text is actually John's version of the Nativity. We were supposed to read this text back in the first week in January, right, when we were still in the Christmas season, but then we had, like, buckets of snow. So we didn't have that service. I was like, this scripture works perfectly with the Lion King this morning. But most scholars believe that portions of this text were actually were early hymns that were influenced by Greek and Jewish ideas. Like I said, everyone in this time, everyone throughout history is trying to answer the same questions, right? And so are the biblical authors. They're wrestling with all of these ancient, age-old questions of how did we get here? How do we explain this thing called life? And Jesus comes into the world. And Jesus kind of throws everything off course that we've ever known and gives us a new answer. And so John takes these old ancient ideas, these philosophies, these hymns, and he reworks them to give us the answer. The answer we've all been hunting for, which is Jesus is the answer. Jesus has come to life, to work in all of our lives. When we turn away, Jesus is there. When we go into the dark, shadowy places, Jesus is lighting it up. When we run, Jesus comes to find us. When there is darkness and evil and sin, God is there welcoming us back. But sometimes it takes a while for us to see it. We don't always recognize what God is doing in our lives. Even those of us who have been Christians since we were like this big, right? Prevenient grace is still working in your life. God is still working in places that you don't recognize. And we have to do these acts of remembering to help us see. Simba does these acts of remembering. The first is when he's sitting there looking at the stars with Timon and Pumbaa, right? And they're trying to figure out what the stars are, right? And Pumbaa says, hey, Timon, do you ever wonder what those sparkly dots are up there? And Timon answers back, Pumbaa, I don't wonder, I know, right? Because Timon knows all things. And Pumbaa's like, oh, what are they? And he says, well, they're fireflies. Fireflies that got stuck up in that big bluish-black thing. This is totally the right answer, right? And Pumbaa says, oh, gee, I always thought they were just balls of gas burning billions of miles away. They are, right? And Timon says, Pumbaa, with you, everything's gas. But then Simba remembers that conversation, right, that he'd had with his dad about the stars. Now, they're not really kings of the past, right, as the stars. But Simba's remembering what his dad told him, which is, I will always be with you. And then Nala returns, right? And he recognizes her, and she tells him, Simba, you have to come back. It's your place to be king. There's an act of remembrance, an act of others telling. This happens in our spiritual lives too, right? We have these moments of epiphany. We're still in the season of epiphany. We have others in community who tell us what God is trying to tell us. Others pointing out our gifts and our graces and saying, this is your job, this is your responsibility. But then Simba has another moment of clarity. Let's watch. Sorry for those of you who are online, we're going to interrupt for just a moment. You have forgotten me. You have forgotten who you are. When Jesus entered into the world, God recognized that God's people had forgotten who God is, forgotten who they were called to be. And so Jesus came into the world, not to condemn us, not to yell at us, not to be as angry as a hippo with a hernia, right? Do you get the movie quote, Zazu? Okay, anyway. But God sent Jesus to save us. And all we have to do is respond. Respond to that prevenient grace working in our lives. Wesley says, after the grace that comes before, after the prevenient grace, the preparatory grace, comes justifying grace. Ada and Olivia know all about this, right? We just talked about it in confirmation. But justifying grace is that moment when we recognize that we have fallen short, that we've spent too much time not worrying or hakuna matataing, that we've spent too much time in the dark, shadowy places where we recognize we need God. And God forgives us, and we turn from that life and we reorient ourselves toward God. There are many moments in life where we're justified. It doesn't just happen one time. We're continually being reoriented back to God because we continue to move away. Anyone else? Anybody live perfect lives and just walking in God's glorious path all the time? Not me. But God said, or John Wesley would say that we're justified, where we turn back when we remember. When we remember who we are, which is people who are made for community, right? Simba just wants to go away, get away from everything, get away from all the other lions, wants to be by himself. We're tempted to run. We're tempted to escape, to leave everything behind. But we were made for community. We also have a purpose. We have a calling. Simba's purpose was to be king. I'm not called to be king, right? Or queen, whatever. But we all have some sort of purpose. That's part of who we are. But what's most important to remember is not just who we are and who we're called to be, but whose we are. We are beloved children of God. When you look in the mirror and you see just yourself, God's presence is also there, being reflected in you. And when you take a step to follow God's path, other people can see it too. John says, "The light came, and the darkness did not overcome it." Friends, if we remembered who we are and whose we are, the light, the world would be a whole lot brighter of a place, because we could shine God's presence for all to see. Friends, God lives within each and every one of you. Will you remember whose you are? Let's pray. God, I give you thanks for this time together, for showing us your gospel in unique places. God, we follow the gospel according to your Son, Jesus Christ, but we know that we can hear that message, not just here in church, but also out in the world. And God, we ask that we would be transformed today so that we can remember whose we are. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.